All right, so we're diving into Ezekiel today.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, chapters 14 through 16.
Okay.
And we're going to be using Dr. Leslie Allen's lecture as our guide for this one.
Right, cool.
And just to let you know, things get pretty intense.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff.
It is. We're not just reading prophecies, though, right?
Right.
We really want to understand why Ezekiel uses such strong and even graphic imagery.
Yeah, like he's really trying to shake people up, you know?
Yeah, what makes a prophet resort to those kinds of tactics?
I think you have to imagine what it would have been like to live in Jerusalem at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people believe that their city was untouchable.
Chosen by God.
Chosen by God, exactly.
Yeah.
And then Ezekiel comes along and he lays out these what-if scenarios.
Yeah.
Famine, wild animals attacking, war, plagues.
It's like he's saying, no matter what, your city is doomed.
Yeah, it's really bleak.
And I bet that didn't go over very well.
No, not at all.
Especially, well, think about the families whose sons and daughters were taken captive after that first siege of Jerusalem.
Right, right.
They were probably clinging to hope, praying for their loved ones to come home safe.
Absolutely. But Ezekiel doesn't really offer much comfort, does he?
He doesn't.
No, he uses this metaphor of a vine that's been pruned and says that the wood is only good for burning.
And that image would have really resonated with his audience?
Yeah, definitely, because they were so connected to the land.
Yeah, it's like he's saying, look, you've been cut off and there's no going back.
It's a powerful image.
Yeah, that's rough.
And it gets even more intense in chapter 16.
Oh, boy.
That's actually the longest chapter in Ezekiel.
Is it really?
Yeah, and Dr. Allen points out that even the English translations we have today, they're toned down compared to the original Hebrew.
Wow, so what is so shocking about it?
Well, Ezekiel portrays Jerusalem as this unfaithful wife
betraying
God. And he uses really vivid, even sexually explicit language to get this point across.
Wow, so he doesn't hold back at all.
Not at all.
Okay, but why go there?
Well, he needed to grab their attention.
Okay.
He was dealing with people who firmly believed in this idea of Zion theology.
Richard.
This belief that Jerusalem was invincible because it was God's chosen city.
Oh, okay, so he needed to break through that.
Exactly. He had to shatter their illusions of security.
So he uses this infidelity metaphor to expose their unfaithfulness,
yeah,
religiously and politically, right?
That's right. Dr. Allen talks about these two layers of unfaithfulness.
Okay, so what does he mean by that?
Well, on the one hand, they've adopted all these pagan worship practices.
Like what?
Even things like child sacrifice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which would have been a direct affront to their God.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a problem.
Right.
And then what about the political side of things?
They were making all these alliances with foreign nations.
Hmm.
Basically, putting their trust in human power instead of God.
Okay, so Ezekiel saw that as another form of betrayal.
Exactly, yeah. He's basically saying, you're putting your faith in the wrong things.
It sounds like he's trying to show them they've messed up big time.
He is.
But why use such shocking language? Couldn't he have gotten his point across in a more subtle way?
Well, I think he needed to deliver a verbal punch to the gut.
Yeah.
This wasn't a time for subtlety. You know, he had to make them face reality.
Yeah.
And to do that, he draws on a tradition that we see with other prophets, like Hosea.
Oh, okay.
Who also uses the metaphor of an unfaithful wife to represent Israel's relationship with God.
Okay, so he's drawing on something familiar.
Yes.
But then taking it up a notch.
Exactly.
To a whole other level.
And what's interesting is that Dr. Allen points out how Ezekiel strategically uses these cultural norms to make his message even more jarring.
Hmm.
For example, he actually avoids explicitly describing certain sexual acts.
Oh, interesting.
Even though that was pretty common in other ancient texts from the time.
So he's playing with their expectations, their understanding of what's considered appropriate.
Exactly. And that restraint actually makes the implicit content even more unsettling.
Wow, that's a really good point.
It's like he's saying, even I can't bring myself to describe the depths of your depravity.
Wow, that is heavy stuff.
It is, yeah.
And it definitely sounds like Ezekiel was pulling no punches here.
No, he wasn't.
He knew his message had to land, no matter how uncomfortable it was.
He was a prophet on a mission.
A mission to expose their deepest assumptions about God, about their city, even about themselves.
Right. And that brings us to perhaps the most fascinating aspect of chapter 16, the unexpected turn towards hope and forgiveness.
Hold on, really? After all that doom and gloom?
Yeah, it's a surprising twist.
I'm intrigued. Let's unpack that next.
Okay, so we've got this intense buildup of judgment and really graphic imagery.
Right.
And then a shift towards hope.
It is surprising.
It is. It's not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
So what does this hope look like?
Well, according to Dr. Allen, it begins with acknowledging the past.
Okay.
The scars, both physical and emotional, from Jerusalem's fall.
Right.
They're not meant to be forgotten.
Yeah. They serve as a reminder of what happens when you turn away from God.
So it's like a powerful lesson etched into their history.
Exactly.
A constant reminder of the consequences.
Right. And Dr. Allen makes this really fascinating connection to the Apostle Paul, who called himself the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
He says it's not about dwelling on the negative, but understanding the immensity of God's grace.
In light of our mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, that classic I was lost but now I'm found story, but on a much grander scale.
Exactly. And to drive this point home, Ezekiel does something pretty audacious.
Okay, what's that?
He brings Sodom and Samaria into the picture.
Now, those were cities known for their wickedness, right?
Oh, yeah. Even today,
yeah.
Sodom is a byword for depravity.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ezekiel says that Jerusalem, for all its self-righteousness, is no better. In fact, she might even be worse.
Wow, that's a pretty humbling comparison.
It is.
So how does this all fit together? We've got judgment, shocking imagery, and now this message of hope and restoration.
Right.
What would Ezekiel's original audience have taken away from all of this?
Well, I think Dr. Allen puts it best when he says that the exiles, those who survived Jerusalem's destruction, were meant to understand that they were sinners saved by grace.
Okay.
Their history, no matter how painful, was part of their identity.
And it pointed to the enduring nature of God's covenant with them.
Yes.
Even when they messed up, even when they faced the consequences, God remained faithful.
That's the core message of Ezekiel's prophecy.
It's a message that transcends time and speaks to us even today.
It does.
Makes you think about our own deeply held beliefs.
Yeah.
Those things we consider unshakable truths.
Right. Our own Zion theology, so to speak.
Exactly. What if we're clinging to something that's actually hindering our relationship with God?
Mm.
What uncomfortable truths might we need to confront to experience that true restoration?
Those are good questions.
They are.
And those are questions that Ezekiel leads us towards.
Yeah, for all the intensity and unsettling imagery he uses.
Absolutely.
It's like he's holding up a mirror, challenging us to look beyond the surface and examine our own hearts.
That's a good way to put it.
And maybe, just maybe, that uncomfortable self-reflection is the first step towards genuine transformation.
I think you're right.
Man, Ezekiel really packs a punch, doesn't he?
He does. It's amazing how much he covers in just these few chapters.
We've got judgment, shocking imagery, hope, restoration.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think what's so fascinating is how he uses the cultural context of his time to really drive home those points.
Yeah.
You know, he draws on legal customs, social sensitivity.
He even uses, like, the way the Hebrew language works
exactly.
to make his message just impossible to ignore.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Like, that whole thing about cities being grammatically feminine in Hebrew, it makes that metaphor of Jerusalem as this unfaithful wife land even harder, you know?
Absolutely.
And you got to remember, he's dealing with a tough crowd here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The people of Jerusalem were so convinced of their city's invincibility.
Right. Even as the Babylonian army was closing in.
Talk about denial.
It's like watching a disaster movie, you know? Everyone's partying on the beach and completely oblivious to this giant tsunami that's about to hit.
Yeah, it's like they just refused to see what was right in front of them.
And that's why Ezekiel had to be so dramatic in your face.
He had to shake them out of that complacency, right?
He did.
And prepare them for this reality that their world was about to change forever.
It's a powerful reminder that sometimes the truth hurts.
It does.
But it can also be incredibly liberating.
Absolutely. It's once we let go of those false assumptions, those things that we're clinging to, we can really open ourselves up to something much deeper. You know, a more authentic relationship with God.
That's the key.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Ezekiel, what's the one thing you hope our listeners walk away with?
Well, I think it's the importance of questioning our deeply held beliefs.
Okay.
Those things that we consider untouchable truths.
You know, those Zion theologies we talked about?
Exactly. Yeah. Just as Ezekiel challenged the people of Jerusalem to re-examine their faith, we need to be willing to do the same.
It's a call to humility.
It is.
A call to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think ultimately a call to be open to a more transformative faith journey, you know?
I think you're right.
I think so too. Well, on that note, I think it's fitting to end with this thought from Dr. Allen.
Big Z.
Ezekiel's prophecies, for all their intensity and sometimes unsettling imagery, they're ultimately a testament to the enduring power of God's grace.
Absolutely.
Even in the face of judgment, even in the midst of destruction.
Yeah.
Hope remains.
That's a powerful message.
It is. It's a message worth holding on to. So keep exploring.
Yes.
Keep questioning.
Keep digging.
And keep diving deep into this amazing world of knowledge. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.